Yeah, there are times when we have those videos that I just think we just need to have the prayer and do the invitation. You're not getting off that lucky. But that thing speaks, and it speaks volumes. If you get a chance, if you didn't catch it, I'll watch it again after the service today, because it's got a lot of very, very valid points. I was sitting down there as I was singing, and that last song, that is at, you know, I'm usually up here leading the singing, and that song is at the very bottom of my range. My Jesus, my, right there, right? I remember when Wesley couldn't hit the top note of my range. When he first started leading the singing and doing all this, and he's struggling trying to find where it's at. And man, he has come a long way, and I appreciate him. It is so cool when you can watch them grow up. As I held this kid in my arms at one point, and now he's up here, and this is his senior year. That's just wrong. That's happening. There's a lot of people that I've watched grow up through here, and I'm thinking where they're at in life. And wow, I ran into some kids during trunk or treat that I had in school, and I had one of them tell me yesterday he's in his mid-30s. Yeah. So anyway, let's get on with the sermon this morning, all right? We split Hebrews 11 up into two different sections. So this is by faith, part one. And what we're going to be doing over the next 2 weeks is we're going to be taking a look at some people in the Old Testament and the example that they set for us. Now, there's going to be some of them. If you read ahead, then you're going to steal a little bit of thunder. But understand, I don't mind that you read ahead. You're reading your Bible. That's good stuff, all right? But you're going to find some people in there that you're going to be like, why did they put them in there? This person was a failure for most of their lives. Why did God include them in this section of Scripture? You know what? God can use the least of us, can he? And all we have to do is turn to him and focus on him and what he's given us. And we can focus on that, and we can end up, it doesn't matter your past, God's interested in what he can do with your future. And so we're going to be taking a look at some of that, okay? We've talked so much about the new covenant, but listen, folks, we can't forget about the faith that these people demonstrated in the Old Testament. Just because we've got a new covenant doesn't mean that these people didn't live according to what God wanted them to do. And we're going to, like I said, over the next 2 weeks, today and next week, we're going to be taking a look at that, all right? So let's start out. Hebrews 11, 1 through 16. Actually, let's pray and then we'll get her one more time, okay? Father, once again, we just come to you. Father, settle me, settle my mind, settle my heart. Father, help me focus on you today. Help me focus on your Spirit. And Father, once again, the words. Father, help us to be obedient to whatever it is you're calling us to do. I ask all this in your name. Amen. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, going on to verse 2. For by it the people of old received their commendation. If we consider, think about this, if we could consider our faith to be one of our senses, sight, hearing, taste, all of our senses, touch, if we could include that in, it would be the strongest sense that we have. Faith is powerful. It is above all things. It provides the power to see things and to hold on to things which can only be hoped for. We may not see them with our true eyes, but our faith eyes can see them. We'll be able to tell what they are. It's by faith the people under the old covenant were approved, or as the scripture said, they were commended for their faith. These who were approved believed their God and believed everything that he revealed to them in his word. Moving on to verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. We believe in faith that God created the universe and everything around us. And all he had to do was say, done. He created it. Where did it come from? It came from nothing. One time, there's nothing. And the next time, the first day, he created. And boom, it was there. The second day, boom, it's there. In those 6 days, all he had to do was just say, do it. And it's done. It's there. It's created. It was created out of nothing. We believe by faith in the Word of God that he's given us everything that we have around us. He created it. And he just spoke. And we're going to take a look at verse 4. And of course, Abel is mentioned in this next verse, if you're with me in Scripture, all right? Abel is going to be the first person to die. And really a martyr for the faith. We know God found the sacrifice he offered to him to be more pleasing than what his brother Cain offered. Let's read verse 4 real quick. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. He still speaks. As we take a look at Abel, the sacrifice that he was offering, like we said, it was better than what his brother was offering. Cain was bringing sacrifices to God, but they weren't the best of what he was collecting. He saved that for himself. He didn't offer that to God. On the other hand, Abel was bringing animals, and he was offering blood sacrifices, even at that point, before they were even instructed to do that. Abel knew that there had to be a sacrifice made, and he was bringing the best that he had. And so God considered his gift more acceptable. And so we know that Cain ends up killing him because of that, because of the jealousy. And when God was speaking with Cain about what he had done, he said, I know exactly what you've done. I hear the very voice of Abel crying out. So even through his death, he was still speaking. Abel, the first to die in our world, would be the first to enter heaven. Through his faith, he offered sacrifices to God, which God accepted. Now, we're going to be taking a look at Enoch in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Enoch was a person who communed with God continually. Just think about this. Enoch, when he first woke up, was talking with God. Enoch, when he's walking around out in the world, he's talking with God. Enoch, before he goes to bed, the last thing he's doing, he's talking with God. He was in constant communication with God. He had faith in who God was and stayed with him the entire time of his life. He will be the first person to go to heaven that didn't have to die. Not only did he not have to die, he was just, it says he was taken. The scripture simply says he walked with God. This is Genesis 5, 23 and 24. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, for God took him. In Hebrews, it said he wasn't found. Think about this. He was missed. He was missed by the people that he was around. It just wasn't like he was gone and then life just went on. They looked for him. Why? Because they knew that he was a man of God. They knew the life that he lived. And I imagine if they knew that, they probably went to Enoch for all sorts of advice, all sorts of, hey, Enoch, would you pray for me? They knew Enoch was a man of God, and so therefore, when he left, he was missed. He disappeared and was gone, and people missed him. They searched for him. They wanted to know where he went. Moving on, Hebrews 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Enoch lived for over 300 years, 365 years, it said. And in those 365 years, he put his faith and hope in God. He did everything he could do to please God. Once again, he stayed in touch with God his entire life. We were created to please our Lord. We were created to honor and praise him. Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Now listen, one of the things that I think that we need to do and make for sure that we understand, and this scripture that we had, it is very clear in this. I think we need to make for sure that we realize that our faith, and we heard this, we heard it last week from Tim when he was up here. Our faith is based not on anything that we do. It is totally based on what Christ did for us. There is nothing that we can do, there is no work that we can do that can ever earn that favor from God. It was simply that he loved us this much that he offered his son to die on the cross for us. Why do we do good deeds and works? Because we love him. And this is the way we give back to him. It is nothing that we can do to receive and do anything more to earn it, because we can't earn his favor. We are sinners. He cannot look on us when we have sin on our life. But the blood of Jesus Christ covered that sin. Tim did such a good job last week covering that for us. We must be accepted by God first by the sacrifice that was made for us, so that he is able to see us, and so that he then does see the works that we are doing. We must be seeking him and be a believer in Christ, and once again, the gift that was offered. The people of the Old Testament needed to draw near to God and believe he existed. Many of them put the works of the sacrifices that were going on in the church before anything else. They thought that's what was important. God wasn't interested in that. He was interested in them following his will and following the scripture that he had given them to follow. They thought that going to the temple once a year and offering those sacrifices was what God wanted. They got it backwards. God wanted their lives. God wanted their obedience. God wanted their faith. And instead, they put it into the sacrifices that were being offered to them, and they lost their way. They were coming to church and saying, if I do these things, if I do these steps, I will be able to meet God one day. Once again, it has nothing to do about our works. It has everything to do with what God did for us. God is more interested in your personal time with him. He's interested in your belief in him. He's interested in that you have accepted the gift of salvation than he is anything else. And once again, once you see that, once you do that, then we start building on the personal time. We start building on the good works. We start building on your calling that God has on your life. But until you get that foundation, until by faith, you believe the gift that was offered to you, all this other stuff that we're doing is just rubble. You remember he called it dung last week, right? He prefers you to believe who he is without anything we might add to our belief in who he is. If we try to add or take out some of the things the Bible says about our God and his nature, we've just created an idol. It's that simple, folks. If you take anything out of Scripture and take something away from God, or you try to add to it, you have created an image of your own making instead of what the Bible has to say about God that was inspired by Him, by the people that He had write it. You have got to take the Bible for what it tells you about Him and leave it there. We need to add nothing. He is and should be the thing we seek. When we break it down to that, He's going to start being able to look at what we've done because we've accepted the gift that He's given us. Let's take a look at Noah. By faith, Noah, this is chapter 7, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah begins building a boat, a very big boat, okay, on dry land. There's no water around, no water near where he started building this thing. Why? Because God told him to. God tells Noah to build the ark. Noah loved God. He followed God when the rest of the world had turned their backs on him. They were busy enjoying life at their own pace and doing their own thing. God told Noah he was going to send a flood which would kill all of humanity. Even while he's building the ark and probably taking quite a beating for it. Can you imagine the people as they're walking by? This guy is like loony. He's building a boat. You going to sell tickets for this thing? What on earth are you going to do with this? Even with all that was going on, Noah was still trying to convince those who were around him of what was going to happen, and they didn't listen. They just carried on. Life is good. Why do we need to listen to you? They were condemned for their unbelief. They were condemned for not listening. Noah, on his part, was rewarded for his belief in God, in his faith in Him. If you think about it, we all go back to Noah. Noah and his family were the only ones who survived the flood. We're all descendants of Noah. Abraham, 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham, one day, is told, Abraham, God's here. Abraham, I want you to pack it up and let's go. So what does he do? He packs it up and we go. Abraham, if you go, I will make your descendants to where they can't be counted. We'll get into that part of it a little bit later on here. He has no other directions other than that God will direct him in the way to go. He has nothing other than that God told him to go. He didn't question. He didn't ask why. He didn't even ask for any further explanation. He didn't ask for a roadmap. He didn't get on Google Maps to try to figure out where we're going. He just went. We need to realize when God tells us it is time for us to move on, when God has a calling on our lives, and we sit there and we try to make this, oh God, no, just wait. We've got to get things in order here. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. We need to realize that when we're doing that, that we're being disobedient. Because God's not interested in bargaining. He's interested in obedience. He's interested in the faith, once again, that we put it. And by faith, Abraham packed it up and moved. People, can you imagine? People asking him, where are you going? I don't know. Once again, you're building a boat on dry land? What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. God told me to move. Wait a minute. You're leaving family, friends, everything that you have here, and you're going, yep. Can you imagine what his servants thought? They for them to move with him, they had to hold him in such high regard. Don't you agree? They had to love him. Why? Why would you do that? I could imagine if I would have, let's go back in time here, and let's say that God decided that he was going to move Rick, Julie, my wife, and Jalen, our daughter. And I just tell Jalen, hey, Jalen, we're going to, let's see, let's pick a city. We're going to go to Atlanta. Why are we going to Atlanta? I don't know. God told us to go. Dad, what? God told us to go. No, now wait a minute. Because Jalen's the practical one in the family. She's the one that'll just lay it out there and tell you what she thinks. Sometimes you want to hear it, sometimes you don't. Most times you don't. But anyway. And then most of the time she's right, and then you hate to go to her and say, yeah, you're right. She's still teaching her dad. She would be the one that would question why, though. And she'd want to know what the game plan was, because she's a planner. She wants to have it planned out. And really, I am to a point, too. But I'll tell you, over the last probably 10 years, God has started doing a thing in Rick. And even though I don't have all the answers, oh, believe me, I don't have all the answers. There's still more of that where I'm just stepping out on faith with him and what he's calling us to do. What he's calling me to do. Think about this. They lived in tents. They lived in tents for the most part while they were traveling. When they went into the towns, think about when you read scripture, when they went to the towns, what happened? They got in trouble. Because most of the time, they were tempted, they were drawn, they were doing things, they overthought things, and so, well, we've got to do this to make sure everything's okay, and they weren't totally following the will of God. And so, they ended up getting in trouble when they went to the town, so they stayed away from him. God wanted them separated from the people in the land where God was sending them. He wanted them to be committed to him wholly. Because of the years that Abraham lived, Isaac and Jacob were along for the ride as well. They were there with him as they were moving around in the promised land. They would continue to live in tents basically until their return from Egypt. They would never settle down in the promised land. They lived, if you read the scripture, they lived as foreigners in the land that God is telling them will be theirs. Well, now wait a minute. If it's going to be ours, why aren't we taking it over now? Because God had other plans. God will do this in his timing. Abraham had eyes set on the city God was telling him about. He didn't need an earthly home. He was waiting for the home God was preparing for him. And with those faith eyes that Abraham had that I talked about earlier, he's seeing what God is talking about. He's grasping hold of what God's talking about with him. Let's move on. By faith, this is 11 and 12, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. In 12, therefore, from one man, in him, as good as dead, were born descendants, as many of the stars as of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Abraham and Sarah, they were promised by God that they would have descendants that would be too numerous to count. They were given this promise after they were both well beyond the age where you could have children. And even though Sarah did try to help God out, we know that she didn't stay completely faithful and believe totally in what God was doing. She came back to it. And what does God end up doing? He ends up blessing them with a son. And the same was true with Abraham. God saw the faith in both of them, and he blessed them for it. They both had incredible faith to do what God had asked them to do. Now here is the kicker in all of the verses that we've been going over today. Let's take a look at 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob were all promised great things. They were part of the promise that was given to Abraham and Sarah that one day their descendants would be too many. But were they able to see that? Did they ever see that happen? Did Abraham ever see his descendants go actually take over the promised land? None of these people will live to see it. They will be well passed away and gone before the Israelites come back to the promised land that was given to them. And they will be, it will take time for the numbers to grow. However, they had faith that God said it and he would carry it through. And through their faith eyes and through their hands, once again, they grasp hold of what God had promised them. As a matter of fact, it says that Abraham, when he passed away, he asked that his bones not be buried where they were. He asked them to be taken to where they would settle one of these days in the promised land. They would end up living as strangers in what the land that was promised to them, and then they would be taken to Egypt where they would live as slaves over a time. They'd not see that land until they would be called to return. Can you see the parallel in our lives today? We are supposed to be strangers. If we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are supposed to be strangers in this land. We're not supposed to be putting our wealth and everything into here, because, folks, when you're gone, you can't take it with you. It's here. It stays. We're strangers. As Christians, we should consider this life that we're living is temporary. This is not our home. We should take the time with what we're doing here on earth, living and pleasing God, just like the people that we've just talked about. That should be what our lives should be about. And it should, listen, it shouldn't be about pleasing your spouse, even though that's probably a good thing. Just saying. Listen, we don't have to please man. We need to please him. And we'll find that when we're pleasing him and we put him first, pleasing others we don't have to worry about, because God's going to take care of that. We should spend time reaching out to a world that is desperately in need. I've talked to you all before. Listen, I was telling people, you know, most of you all know I'm a school teacher by trade. Through all that has gone on over the last several years, I have found that teaching this year has become very, very different. and being with the kids, I mean, I used to be able to just grab hold of kids. I mean, not literally grab hold of them, but I could get them. You understand what I'm saying? I could get them. This year, it's like trying to hold water. They have changed. And what I do has changed. And they're in need. Not only are they in need, but folks, the world is in need. What we have just been through and what we're still going through, the world is looking for something to grab hold of. And guess who's got the answer? It's you're sitting right here in the pews. But what are we doing about it? Are we demonstrating our faith? Are we living our faith when we're out in the world? Are we making that commitment to God and pleasing Him through reaching out to a world that He's called us to reach out to? What are you doing? How do you put your, or where do you put your faith? Are you putting it in the worldly things that we're seeing? Oh my goodness, you can get any opinion you want to under the sun right now in social media. And there's a lot of people that in social media, they think now social media is actually the news media. Now I will tell you that the news media has done a great job of blurring those lines. All right? But where do you put your faith? Where are you putting your faith? Are you putting it in heavenly things or are you putting it in temporary things here on earth? We're doing a study on Wednesday nights on Daniel. And one of the verses that we went over Wednesday night says, God will take out kings and He will put them in. Guess what? If you didn't agree with the last person that was in office and you do now, or you don't agree with the person that's in office now, guess what God's got the power to do? Do you believe that? Scripture says He's got the power. But listen, regardless of what that is, are you putting your faith in politics? If so, I'm praying for you. That's not where our faith lies. Our faith lies in God. Because guess what? God's not going to change. God will remain constant. He will remain the same. You know who messes all that up? We do. We do. How do you demonstrate your faith? How do you live it? Do you live it to the point where people know that you're a Christian and you don't have to say a word? And then do you live it to where you say words as well? How do you live your life? How do you live each day? And then lastly, what has God called you to do? And you are using excuses not to follow through. What has He called you to do? And you're busy making excuses. Because once again, that's being disobedient to the God that we're supposed to have faith in. We're supposed to have faith that if He calls us to do something, that He's going to provide the way. We're supposed to have faith that if He tells us to move, we don't have to look at Google Maps. God's going to take care of us. Why? Because He's in control of it all. Do I have the answers to all that? Believe me, I wish I did. It would make life so much easier. But you know what? If God cares about that bird in that tree enough to teach it how to build a nest and keep it safe, if He can number the very hair on my head, the gray ones and the blonde ones, how much more does He care about me as a person? How much more does He love me? He is not going to fail Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be rough times. But I've got a faith that he's going to see me through. And I've got a faith that one of these days I'm going to meet him face to face. And one of these days I'm going to be in heaven. And listen, I enjoy singing, but boy, one of these days, that's all I'm going to be doing. Is I'm going to be singing to him, and God is going to give me a voice that will, I can't even imagine. We can't imagine. We can't fathom what it's going to be like. We have faith. Where do you put your faith? How do you demonstrate your faith? And is there something that God's calling you to do that you've been putting off and arguing with God, and you need to just settle it? God, you've got it. I'm doing it. I trust you completely. We're coming to our time of invitation. Number one, if you've never accepted the gift of salvation, today is the day that you can do that. Today is the day that God can change your life. And from here on out, instead of focusing on a past that maybe you don't like and you don't want to admit it's there, God's going to have you start looking towards your future, because he's got something better for you. If you have accepted Christ and you've not been as close to him as you'd like, guess what? He's always there. He's always stayed the same place he's always been. He's just waiting for you to turn around and offer up your hand so that he can grab you and bring you right back to where you need to be. If you want to come join our church and be part of our family here and the ministry that we're involved in, and maybe God's got a ministry for you to tag into, or maybe he's calling you to get involved in a new ministry. Maybe you're supposed to be the start. Guess what? Be obedient. Be obedient this morning to what God is calling you to do. Folks, whatever the Holy Spirit has laid on your mind this morning, be obedient. Be obedient. Follow him by faith. God's got great things in store for us. He's got great things in store for us as a church. He's got a man planned for that chair. Well, maybe not that chair right there, but he's got a man planned for this church that's going to be able to do some awesome things. All we have to do is walk by faith and get rid of all the other distractions, like the film said. And let's move on and see what God can do. All right? I'm going to pray for us. Praise team's going to come up. They're going to lead us in a song. If you've got a decision you need to make, the altar is open. I will be down front if you need me to pray with you, or if you just want to pray down front. You are more than welcome to do that. Whatever you need, this time is for you, and it's between you and the Holy Spirit. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples that you gave us through the Old Testament. People who lived by faith, and Father, who stepped out and, Lord, believed in you and who you were and took you at your word. And Father, help us to be faithful to that calling as well. Father, you've got something in store for each one of us to do. And Lord, I just pray that as we step into this next area of our service, Father, that as your Spirit has been working and leading through this service, Lord, that we would be faithful to whatever the decision is that you're calling us to make. Father, I thank you once again for this time. Father, I pray for those that have never accepted you, and just pray that if today is that day, Father, we pray that today's the day that these folks would open their hearts to you. And Father, we pray for those that need to walk closer, and Father, just pray that if they need to rededicate, Father, that they would make that decision today as well. Father, whatever it is you have laid on our hearts, help us to remain faithful to that. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. If you would stand, please.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that
morning. I'd like to take a minute to thank my church family for the prayers and the love they showed Don and I as we went through some trials. I'd like to, we love our church family. It'd be tough to go through it without them. I'd like to bring the men's ministry. Got a few things that I've written down. Our Bible studies, men's Bible studies, we're starting a new one on Monday the 8th. Called Connect by Tom Rainer, and we'd like to invite all the men to come to that. We have a good time, and hear me now, okay. and we would like you to come. And we are planning on doing our Sportsman's Expo this year, Lord willing. I'd like for you to get a hold of Chris Weekly, pray about it, and see if you would. We need volunteers to help run it, and we're just trying to put a feeler out there and see how many volunteers we can get. We'll have some sign-up sheets. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come to you today just thanking you for loving us. I thank you for this time you've given us. I thank you for everybody here. Lord, I pray for the pastor search committee. If they look for our new pastor, Lord, I know you've already picked him out. Just lead, guide, and direct him. Now that we come to the time, Lord, to give back a portion of what you've given us, just ask that we give it with a willing and cheerful heart. We ask this all in your precious name. Amen.
Well, you all may be seated.